Okay, it's a very special schus to be back with this chevra. Some of us have had this schus to learn a lot of Torah together over the years, but not in a while. And I want to thank Alexa for opening up her bias, and as well, I know Gil and Chum had a lot to do with tonight's share as well. To Alexa and Gil and Chum for bringing me and to be mechazik the oilim, to be mechazik each other. Before the Lichtige Yomim of Chanukah, it's very, very special. And Amir Tashem, it should be a schus for both of their mishpachos, to only Simcha and Bracha, only Yeshuas from the Rabbi Nishlam always. Also, the shir tonight is going to be said with Refuah Shalema for Tinok Ben Basha Bracha, Refuah Bakarov, Eliezer Amuna, Basyal Tiferet. I'm sorry, Eli. Yeah. Can't read my own handwriting. Eliza Amuna. Oh, I knew that the name. Guy with Amuna. Eliza Amuna, Bas Yal Tiferet. Shever Fua Bakarov Bez Hashem. Chaim Tzvi Eliezer Ben Dahlia. And Shlomo Yisrael Ben Sara. Bol Shever Fuos and Yeshuos, along with all the Chaylim. And Klai Yisrael Nidra Fuos Bakarov Bez Hashem Isparach. There were many Hasidim years ago who came to the Chayz of Lublin, and they were complaining about a particular individual they looked at as a big Rasha who was being Moiser, who was telling the government about different Yidden and things they were doing and getting them in trouble and getting them thrown in jail, terrible punishments. So they came to the Chayz to try to daven, to get brachas. And they wrote the name down on a kvittel, on a piece of paper. And the chayza looked at the piece of paper, and he closed his eyes and starts to daven for Yeshua's, for salvation. He opens up his eyes and he says to him, "I don't understand. That person in heaven, that person in Shemayim, is being held in the highest of regards. It's mamish, in all the olamos, he's shining. I can't, there's nothing I could do. There's nothing we could daven." They were shocked, they were surprised. This is Russia. So then they went home, and he continued to do what he was doing. He continued to bring these terrible nisyonos to Klal Yisrael. And these individuals who went the first time to the Chayza, about a week later, they went back to the Chayza. They went back to the Chayza, they had to talk to him again. Maybe something was wrong, something was off, and they again give the name and again explain the situation. And then the Chayz opens up his eyes, he says, Bez Hashem, he gives a big bracha, that Kosh Baruch Hu should be in Yeshuos, and he should stop. And Kachave, it was only a little bit of time later that this individual was completely stopped, all that he did. And the bracha was Chal. Nobody understood what's going on. The Chayz of Lublin, the first time he looked at him, he looked like such a rush, he looked like a tzaddik. And then finally, the next time, a week later, he understood like they all thought. So they asked the Chayza, what happened? The Chayza said, and I realized later, that the first time when I was davening for Yer Yeshua and what's going on with this individual, it was mamish during candle lighting of Neres Chanukah. And he was lighting his menorah. And when a Yid is lighting the menorah, it doesn't matter where they were, it doesn't matter how they've fallen, they mamish reach the highest of heights. The mamish are shining in Shemayim. And therefore there was nothing I could do during those moments. But then he fell back to his ways. He didn't keep that chizik with him. We were able to bring the Yeshua like he needed. We're about, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, tomorrow night, to be mekayim that exact mitzvah. What a powerful mitzvah. And all of you in this room have the same chiyuv as I have. The mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, unlike other mitzvahs, aseishas, man grama, unlike other positive time bound mitzvahs, women are obligated at the same level like men. Whether you're going to actually light, or maybe your husbands or fathers will light for you, on behalf of you, but regardless, you have a chiyuv mitzvah. The same chiyuv. I'd like to even suggest tonight, maybe even a bigger chiyuv. Maybe even a bigger chiyuv. Based on a Shut Eretz Tzvi, he explains that the Magen Avraham brings down by the 3 weeks, the Shavuah Shechal Ba Tisha B'Av, to be exact, the week of Tisha B'Av, not that we want to talk about Avelis now, But hopefully it's the only time we could talk about it, as we won't have to talk about it this year. Because we'll have Geula, and we'll have Mashiach and Kena way before Tisha B'Av this year. So he brings down the halach is, we know during the 3 weeks, that we're not allowed to get haircuts. Come Shavua Shechalbo, the week of Tisha B'Av, that's the most intense of our velos, right? That's the most intense of our mourning. Yet if we're making a bris milah, if you have the schuz to have a child to make a bris milah, so the halach is, who could get a haircut for that bris milah, for that simcha? The father of the child's allowed to get a haircut. The chiv's on the father. The father could have get a haircut. The sandik could get a haircut. The moil could get a haircut. If you've ever seen Rabbi Pesach Kron, who's a moil during Sviris Omer and during the 3 weeks, he's always still clean shaven because he has a bris milah every single day. The moil's allowed to get a haircut. Could shave, could get a haircut. And the Magen Avraham says an interesting person. Also, a kvater, that's a woman. For some of you in your life have been a kvater, you know the kvater, right? Is the one who brings the baby into the bris. So often we give that to a couple, a man and a wife, right? The wife, not the man, just the wife can get a haircut also, if she'd like to. Again, usually women, you know, 3 weeks without a haircut is not a long time at all, and it's something that we don't usually won't do anyways. But if you really wanted to get a haircut for the occasion, a kvater is a woman can get a haircut for the occasion. What's pshat? So it's explained that because when it comes to bris milah, most of the actual taking part in the bris, the chiv and those who are partaking are men. The sandik has to be a man, and the moil is a man, and the chiv is on the father. The closest and the biggest part a woman could have in the bris milah is to be a kvater. It could be someone bringing in the baby for the bris milah. So since that's the closest part she could partake in the bris, she gets, a woman who has that tzchus, it's the biggest simcha, she could also get a haircut. So similarly, the Shuter Tzvi brings down, when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, the job in the Beis HaMikdash, Bekar of Mamish Bezer Hashem, the job of the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, bringing karbanos and lighting the menorah, and all the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, burning the ketores, Kohanim, Levim, they're all men. When we light the menorah, we're mamish continuing the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash mamish. It's an incredible avoda. When we listen to this, when we light the menorah, we're mamish involved in avoda of Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban in Parshas Baloscha says this explicitly. It's literally the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. Aaron HaKohen is told that when you have the schus of the mitzvah of menorah, it's going to be lenetzach, it's going to be forever, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. How so? Chanukah, the menorah we light tomorrow night, whether you're going to light a menorah, your husband is going to light a menorah, when you watch that menorah being lit, when you light the menorah, it's avoda, it's the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. It's avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. So similar to the kvater, who's a woman, when a woman partakes in mitzvahs of Neres Chanukah, it's the closest she could get to avoda in Beis HaMikdash. So in a certain level, it's even a higher chiyuv. A man is not, doesn't have that same. He has other avodas, Bez Hashem should be Bekarov. And by the way, Shudar Tzvi says that's why women have this minog, this special minog, that the first half hour, after the menorah is lit, not to do work. Not to do work. Tomorrow night, your husbands want you to do. The first half hour, you chill, you relax, you give everything to do to your husbands, whatever needs to be done. It's a special minog for the women specifically. It's different debates in halacha of what that means exactly, whether it means like mamish, like Shabbos, not to do any of the lamentos malachos, whether it means like chol hamoed, not to do laundry, and not to sew things, and definitely means not to be doing anything that's a tircha, that's a burden, that you wouldn't want to be doing. It's a good time to be involved in ruchnias, to just be involved and relax and enjoy, and enjoy the simcha of the yontif. But specifically women, because you're celebrating the chelik of lighting the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That is incredible. What a schus. The lighting of the menorah. We see what it did to this year. A few years ago, there was a year he came to Rav Melech Biderman. Rav Melech Biderman is a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, a mashpia. I've had the schus to be with him many times. I can show you a picture afterwards if you want. You meet him always when I'm in Eretz Yisrael. I always meet him at the Kaisel, 2 o'clock in the morning. He comes to daven to Kaisel on Thursday night. Every Thursday night about 2 o'clock in the morning, he comes to daven to Kaisel. So I just go and meet him there and to speak to him a few minutes to ask Eitza, the bracha. Very big tzaddik, very special person. So Yid came to the Rav Melech Biderman and told him the story. Melech said the Yid himself told him the story, the Baal Ma'isa. That, I don't know when this was, recently, last year, 2 years ago, I'm not sure what year, but recently, this man woke up one day, and his eyesight was completely blurred. He was seeing everything doubled. Everything looked double, everything was blurry, couldn't see clearly. And he went to all different types of doctors. All the doctors were doing tests on him, doing things. They couldn't understand what the issue was. They had no idea. The mamish, nobody could diagnose what was going on. And he's seeing blurry, seeing double. This was right a few weeks before Chanukah, first night of Chanukah. He sat by his neiros and davened to Hashem and stared at the neiros that he should have a refuah. He woke up in the morning, he saw perfectly clear. Kachavi, this is what Melech Biderman said, this man told him. The koyach of the Nora, the void of Beis HaMikdash, the Yontif of Chanukah that we're going to enter into tomorrow night. Let's learn a little depth from this Yontif. Let's see what we could take away, besides for just living through this amazing time. Because we have to prepare for Chanukah. We have to understand the depth in Chanukah. Because Chanukah is a Yontif that if you don't prepare b'hashkafa, like this chus that we're doing tonight, it's mamish for me, this is amazing chizik, to see young women who have, I know, so many responsibilities in the world, to come out and to spend time to learn Torah, to grow in Ruchnias. To me, it's something very, very special. But it's so important, specifically, to thank Alexa for opening Bias again and Gil Lachama for this idea, because if you don't do it, if you don't do something like what we're doing before Chanukah, Chanukah completely could be lost. Shkoyach will light a menorah, we'll have a few lakas and play a little dreidel. But Chanukah more so than other Yom Tovim, the whole Yom Tov, at least you feel it, you're living it. Pesach, you're going to go through it, whether you... Right, it's always better if you prepare, but even if you didn't, you sit by the Pesach Seder, you go through the Haggadah, how you're not inspired by Pesach, and to feel the freedom, and to get close to Hashem. Purim, it's only one day, but you sit by Megillas Esther, you remember the storyline, and you live through it, and you're inspired by it. Every Yom Tov you go through, you live the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov. Halavai, the better if you prepare. But if you don't prepare, you're still going to connect, you're still going to gain from it. Chanukah, if we don't prepare the way we are, we could go through entire Chanukah, and it could pass us by as if nothing happened. The days are regular days, whether we're in work, whether we're in school, whatever the days are going to be, all regular, mundane, regular choladika days. So we happen for a few minutes to light a menorah and to sing in our neiros halalu and ma'osur. We spend a few minutes at night. And then the whole day is just a regular day. So hopefully we'll remember to say al nisim in our Shemoneh Esrei. And if we forget, we'll forget. We don't even repeat. That's halacha, by the way, right? We don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei if we forget al nisim. So, what's the difference in the entire day? Few minutes a day, people could go through as if Chanukah didn't even happen. So you have to prepare for Ruchnias, to know what to gain out of the Yontif, to what to walk away from the Yontif with. So we said a few moments ago that first half hour, according to the Shodar Tzvi, is a special time for women to celebrate this connection to this Yontif, which is a special Yontif for women, a little more than men, in the way that we explained. But Pashtus in that first half hour as well, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, is to show that we know the halacha is, by the Neres Chanukah, that we paskin, asur lishtamesh lehen. We're not allowed to benefit from them. We're not allowed to utilize those lights. Right? The lights of the menorah, we're not allowed to utilize. Unlike Shabbos candles, meaning Ner Shabbos, the whole purpose in Ner Shabbos is to use them, right? We, Baruch Shem, today, we have electrical light and we have beautiful lit houses. But it used to be they didn't have electricity. The whole purpose of Ner Shabbos, we light our Ner Shabbos. Every time you light Ner Shabbos, you bring Oneg Shabbos into the bayis. So you have light for the Suda, you could enjoy the Suda. It's always so beautiful. I have a very close friend, Mamish, who I love like a brother, Rav Yoel Rakovsky, he's a Rebbe in the Tavari, some of you know who he is. Anytime I'm in Eretz Yisrael, Lel Shabbos, I only eat by Rav Yoel. I don't care where I am. I don't care what hotel I'm invited to. I don't care. It doesn't matter. With my whole mishpacha. This past August, I was there with the whole mishpacha, with my wife, with my children. First Friday night, where were we? By Rav Yoel. Only by Rav Yoel. Because the Shabbos Suda by Rav Yoel's mamash ein kamo. It's incredible. An experience of ruchnis. What a Shabbos Suda is supposed to be. And Rav Yoel, so whenever I go myself, of course, I'll be there, Mirtz Hashem, in about a month. Only by Rav Yoel. Many Talmidim, it's a very special, the singing, the Torah, Rav Yoel's minig by Shabbos table, so he lives in the old city, and it's beautiful, the beautiful domed, domed ceilings, and mamash, you feel the Kedusha of his house, Baruch Hashem, it's like incredible. So, the minig by Rav Yoel, so after you have Kiddush, and then you have a motzi, and then at some point, soon after a motzi, before like the, maybe, right around the soup, somewhere around there, All the lights go out. All the lights go out. He sets them all on a timer that all the lights should go out. And he has, Baruch Hashem, kind of has many children, and often he has one of his married children who is there as also. So there's a little shelf that he built with all the candles. They're usually, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, a lot of candles. And there's his dining room's connected to his kitchen, so in the kitchen there's one light bulb on, so his wife could see to prepare whatever it might be, so there's a little light coming from there. But all the light is by the Shabbos licht. Literally, you're sitting by candlelight. It's beautiful. And he does oil. His mom is beautiful. I can't even, the feeling, I want to be there. Mom just want to be there. And that's there to use. Friday night, Ner Shabbos, we're supposed to use, we're supposed to enjoy. Ner is Chanukah, we light Ner is Chanukah. Osur lishtamish. I'm not allowed to use them. I'm not allowed to benefit from them. You're not allowed to go by the Ner is Chanukah and read a book or read a sefer. That's one of the reasons we have a shamish. We have a shamish, an extra candle, in case we use it, the light of the menorah, we're actually using the light of the shamish, which is not part of really the mitzvah. Because we're not allowed to use the Ner is Chanukah for our own benefit. So, that's another reason for that first half hour. The Iker Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the first half hour. It's another reason the first half hour not to do any melacha, to show I'm not benefiting, I'm not doing anything by the Shabbos, by the Chanukah Licht. But in reality, that halacha is a machlokas in the Gemara. That's how we paskin. You're not allowed to use it and not allowed to benefit from it. But if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Aleph, Amar Aleph, Chav Aleph, Amar Beis, it's machlokas whether you're allowed to use the Ner Chanukah or not. So we have to understand the machloikas. We have to understand each opinion. And again, we paskin, you're not allowed to use it. That's the halacha. That's the practical halacha. We're not allowed to benefit from the Chanukah licht. But there's a machloikas. There are those that hold you could. Why do we have these two opinions? Some will hold you can, some will hold you can't. So I saw this Torah this year for the first time. Mamish was tansing. It's a tremendous. I was holding this for this year, I want you to know. I saw it last week. And we were in discussion whether we're going to have this year or not. And I was, if not, I was going to use this Matzah Shabbos I gave this year. But then, instead we're having this year, I said, I have to hold this Torah for this year, for these Nashim Tzikanios. You'll understand where we're going with it, why specifically, but Mamish is such a special Torah. You ready for this Torah? It's the Kedushas Levi, the Heilig Bar Dichmer. The Kedushas Levi says as follows. He says, B'derech Mashal. He says, imagine as follows. Imagine you had some ani, a poor individual, and he's living in some little shack, and the melech comes to visit him. The king comes to visit this ani. The melech comes to visit him. How excited that ani is going to be, right? It's incredible. What a schus. How incredible. But the Bar-Dichmer says there are two types of aniyim. There are two types of poor people. The ani who's a ksil, who's poor, and he's also a fool. He's not a smart individual. So when the melech comes in, now this melech is decked out. The melech's mamish, you know, I'm not saying we're decked out. You know, decked out like a melech with this massive crown full of jewels, right? The queen's jewels, chesnish, they said, right? Who just got, Prince Harry just got engaged and he took jewels from his mother, from Princess Diane. Diana, right? Took a few jewels from, a few diamonds from her collection. Can't imagine what to collect. The melech's crowns, these jewels are all over the place. He walks in with his golden scepter. And he's wearing threads like you've never seen. So the ani who's a ksil, the ani who's a fool, so he's all excited that this wealth and these diamonds and jewels and clothes and all of the melech that's on this melech, he can't believe that's in his house. This is this poor guy, he has a few crooked chairs and echvesnisht. He's lucky enough, it's exciting when he has a piece of chicken for Shabbos. And look at what's in his house. He couldn't believe he never saw anything like this before. So excited. But the ani is a chacham. The poor person is wise. He sits beneath all the jewels and the crown and the robe and the scepter. And he sees that the melech is here, the king is here. And that ani is not excited about any of the wealth or any of the chitzonius, but that the melech is in his house. The king is here. The king cares about me. The king visited me. That's incredible. I have a relationship with the king. This is amazing. That's what he's excited about. So too, the Bradish says, comes Chanukah, comes the Yontif of Chanukah, and the Rabbeinu Shlomo Chanukah did nisim for us, did incredible miracles for us. He allowed the small, minute, weak army of Yeshiva Bachrim to defeat the Greeks and give us back Beis HaMikdash. And then he allowed oil to last for 8 days. It should have lasted 1 day. And these miracles and chesed, shefa from the Eibishter. So someone who's a ksil, who's foolish, who sees a little bit, but only sees the chitzonius, only sees the exterior, says, wow, look at all that Hashem did for me. I'm so excited. And I'm going to utilize that chesed and take it and run with it and do with it. But someone who really understands Nisim and understands Geula and understands a Yontif says it's not about the exteriors. It's not about the actual details. But these Nisim mean Hashem cares about me deeply. Hashem's by my side always. Hashem's here. That's what Hashem's telling me. Sometimes in a revealed way, sometimes in a hidden way. But what I recall from the Nes of Chanukah is the Rabbeinu Shlom's by my side. The Rabbeinu Shlom's in my life. I'm living with the Rabbeinu Shlom. That's awesome. That's incredible. I'm a Bas Melech. I have a relationship with the King. It's good stuff. And the Bar-Dishtrever says that the Yid, who just sees the exterior miracle and the chesed that Hashem does, so that he's all about what Hashem does for me, it's there for me to use, it's there for me to enjoy. Mutter l'shtamesh, of course then I could use the light. Because that's what it's here for, that's all I see is the exterior miracle. It's obviously there for me to enjoy. But the one who sees beyond doesn't care about the miracle itself and the details. He sees beyond, he sees the Rabbanu Shel Olam's Kodesh Kedoshim. It's not here for me to enjoy it, it's here to remind me of that relationship. I'm not going to use it. It's not what it's about, there's so much depth here, so much more here. Asur l'shtamesh, and that's how we paskin. That's how we paskin, in other words, we're going to go through a Yontif of Chanukah. And some are going to remember and recall the miracles. And that's awesome, and have a beautiful time, and light a menorah, and play dreidel, and eat latkes, and have a nice fun, some nice family time, some nice Chanukah parties with family. There's nothing wrong with that, it's good, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's great. For those of us who want a little more depth, those of us who want Chanukah to be transformative, let's see beyond. Let's see beneath that all. Let's not see just the crown of the King, but let's see the King Himself. Let's remind ourselves it's all just a reminder that we're one with Hashem, that Hashem is in our life, that I'm living with Hashem, and not just now, but always. This is just checking in to remind us. But He's here also 2 weeks later when we're not seeing the miracles. And He's in my life and I have to live with that. I want to live with that, and it's awesome. That's what we all want. That's the reminder of Chanukah. That's the light of Chanukah. That's how we paskin asr l'shtamesh ba. We're not allowed to use it. We have to see beyond it. So the problem is, it's hard. Yeah, maybe on Chanukah we could understand this, but it's hard to stay with us always, right? Like, let's be real. Everyone in this room, we all dress the part. We're dressing tznius, and we're dressing like a Bas Torah is supposed to dress. And everybody's keeping Shabbos, so it's not a... There's no, we're not at a point, you know, we talk about Nekudas Bechira, Mechtam Elio, we're not talking where it's Nekudas Bechira, whether I'm going to use my cell phone on Shabbos. All the articles we read about people and whatever, half Shabbos, which is really no Shabbos, that's not where we're holding. We're all keeping Shabbos, and we're all keeping kosher, and we're all halachic Jews. Baruch Hashem. We're all doing it. We're walking the walk, we're talking the talk. But what about the depth? What about the real relationship with Hashem? What about a feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life always? What about seeing beyond the outside and Rachmana Libabai in my heart, beyond? When it comes to that, if I'll open up and I'm just talking for myself, maybe some of us could relate, sometimes we feel a little numb. Sometimes I just don't feel it. Once in a while, a nice ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, a simchas Torah, big simcha, a really serious nisayon that I'm going through, so it pushes me to daven to Hashem in a real way, and reach out to Him. But like daily, My life is so mundane. I'm doing it all. I'm going through all the motions. But do I really feel them in my life always? Sometimes we're a little paralyzed. You know, I don't know if I don't know how many in the chevra listened to that song or didn't listen to the song.
I sent the message to everyone.
Oh, you didn't get it out. You didn't send it. Okay, fine. But on the those who are in the bigger chat, I sent it out on that one. I don't know who's on which groups and whatever it is, but whether you did or didn't, you'll listen after. Unless you don't listen to any non-Jewish music, then don't. I don't want to be more hetter than everybody. Again, you obviously know where I hold on that, but that could be another discussion for another time. We could have a question and answer at the end of this year, and an explanation on that. But Lameisa, there's an artist called NF. That's what he goes by. His name's Nate Feirstein. I thought originally he must be Jewish. Feirstein. Maybe he is. He just doesn't know it yet. I don't know what his... And my son actually introduced me to him. And I've only listened in my life to a few songs, but they're so deep. And they're so full of being real. And, you know, I'm a very big fan of music. I love music. It mamish, as the Vilna Gaon explains, it's the language of the neshama, language of the soul. And obviously, Jewish music is very, very special. A lot of it. Sometimes that's not from the soul even, but that's another discussion also for another time. But when you hear someone singing from the depths of their heart and singing things that are real and passionate, there's something very deep and real about this. It's this singer, I've been told, first of all, also, apparently, I only listened to a few songs, and that's true about the songs I've listened to. All the lyrics are completely clean, nothing inappropriate. Obviously, it's a guy singing, so I have no problem with that, personally. Not that you would have a problem either way. But he has this song called Paralyzed. And the first time I heard it, it hit me somewhere in the heart. It was like so deep and so real. And those who listen to it maybe know what I'm talking about. If you didn't hear it yet, you'll hear it afterwards. I was thinking of playing it for everybody, but then my wife said it's a little awkward. I don't know. So in the middle of this year, I mean, if we want, we could override that. I don't know, whatever it might be. But okay, you'll listen afterwards maybe. Maybe we'll listen afterwards. At the end of this year, you'll listen. I'm going to read you just a little bit of the lyrics. He says, "When did I become so numb? When did I lose myself? I'm paralyzed. Where are my feelings? I no longer feel things that I know I should. I'm paralyzed. Where is the real me? I'm lost and it kills me inside. I'm paralyzed. When did I become so cold? With all my faith." It's a big line. "With all my faith, I'm paralyzed." Meaning he has the faith. He knows it's what he's supposed to be doing. He knows who he is. But he feels paralyzed. He feels emotionally disconnected. "I want to feel something. I'm numb inside. But I feel nothing. I wonder why. And on the race of life, time passes by." I mean, the years are just going. The days are just going. And I'm in no better of a place than I was a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a year ago. He feels paralyzed. Again, this is not physical paralysis, as we all understand. Emotional paralysis. And for us, how many of us could relate? How many of us could relate to times in our life, days in our life, weeks in our life, months in our life, where I'm doing it all, I have the faith, I know there's an Eibishter, I know there's a Ribono Shel Olam, I know there's MS, I could say it all, I believe it all. And I'm living according to that life as well, and I would never not. But I'm just the emotional wherewithal, the close connection that I've had at times. I'm just missing it. It's gone. I'm paralyzed. Where I'm just not feeling Hashem in my life in the way that I want to, in the way that I wish I would, and that I wish I should. And it's tough. I feel numb. So the light of Chanukah, I think, is here to brighten our days and to bring that back. And to defrost those of us who feel frozen in this paralysis. To really feel Hashem in our lives. To get to the point of Asur L'shtamish Behen, where I'm not just seeing and going through the motions, but I see the Ribono Shel Olam beneath and beyond. And I'm with Him, I'm living with Him, I'm in that relationship with Him. Maybe that's the light of it. It's very strange. It's like, it's a crazy thing, right? We said when we light our Shabbos candles, it's to use them. Whenever we light candles, we turn on lights, it's to use them. Why are we turning on lights? So we could see. Suddenly, there is Chanukah, it's the strangest of things. It's the strangest of things. It's another line from another song, but okay, I'm not going to go there. One song at a time. Lamais, it's the strangest of things. We're lighting candles so that we don't use them? We're lighting candles not to use them? So you're saying, oh, come on, Rebbe, because we're using them just to see the candles so that we know what night it is, so we remember the miracle. And that's true, by the way, on the surface, for sure, you're right. But we're supposed to look at them. We're going to sing Haneir tomorrow night after we light menorah. Haneir salala kodesh haim. They're holy, these candles. Ve'ein lanu reshush lishtamish ben. We don't have permission to use them. Elo lerosum belvad. But to look at them, meaning we're supposed to look at them. We're supposed to look at them for what? If we're not allowed to use them. So maybe if it's not the physical light that we're looking at, it's the spiritual light that we're looking at, and we're supposed to use the light. If we can't use it on the exterior for this world, on the physical realm to benefit, maybe it's to enlighten my life inside me, my neshama from within, my waking up my heart to be close to Hashem. Maybe that's what it's here for. And we have to start to live like this. So how? Let's talk some Eitzah. Shkoyach. So this could be the spark. But as we know, when we have sparks, the spark needs a continued fuel to continue the fire. And the spark could be beautiful and understanding that I want it. I'm going to get there. Chanukah, I'm going to look at my menorah tomorrow night and I'm going to try to get that feeling again. But how do I continue it? What do I do in my everyday life? Because my life does feel so mundane. Taking care of an apartment, I'm going to work, I'm going to school. It's not like, you know, years ago, so I had the time and I had the ability and I was in seminary and I was there. So I worked all day in Ruchnias and I had the time in my life. I don't have the time anymore, let's be real. I'm lucky if I have time to sleep. There's so many responsibilities that we have in life. And it happens in life. And those are real responsibilities, beautiful responsibilities. But how do I bring Hashem? How do I feel that relationship that we want to feel, that we don't want to feel paralyzed? There was a young woman who called me recently, a few weeks ago. And she asked me this question. She told me, she's completely showing me Torah mitzvahs in every way, and she completely belongs in the bone. She was going through some difficulties, she was. But she admitted nothing crazy, like small things in her life. She knew, and she knew that. She didn't need, like all the chizik I would give her, like the first step of chizik, she like, in the discussion, already knocked it to the side. Like, don't tell me all that, because I know all that already. But she didn't feel the Rabbonus from her life. That's what she was asking for. Where do I want to feel the Rabbonus. I know it's there. I want to feel it. So I'll tell you what I told her, the first thing I told her. And some of you may remember, I probably shared the story with you before, but it reminds myself of a story that my Rebbe, Nosson Zvi Finkel, used to tell over, that I'd supposed to hear from him. I didn't tell her over the story, I just used the Eitzah really. Changed it a little bit when I told it to her. Rav Nosson Zvi Zatzal, my Rebbe, so he once told us that an almano, a widow came to him. The widow was married to her husband for 50 years. And Mamish came crying bitter tears. Mamish so lonely without her husband. And looking for chizik, looking for inspiration. And Rav Nosson Zvi gave her all the chizik first, talked to her. And then he said to her before she left, he said, I want you to do something. When you leave here, and this was years ago, there was no smartphones then. He said, I want you to go to the store and buy a little pad. Like a little homework pad, remember back like in second grade maybe? Like a little pad, huh? You still do. You don't have notes on your phone? What's going on? Anyways, nice, a little notebook pad. And she says, go buy yourself a little notebook pen, and have with you always a pen. Whenever you feel Hashem in your life, something happens to you and you realize that's Hashem doing it for me, or in someone in your family's life, or some close friend, write it down. And whenever you start to feel a little lonely, take out your notebook and read it all back to yourself and realize you're never alone. Hashem's always by your side. That's what Rav Nosson Zvi told this woman. So I told this young woman a few weeks ago, I said, I want you to go. And I said, start. that you could do on your phone, in a book, whatever it is. I told her a little differently. And maybe this is an eight I want to give everybody here. I said, every single day, spend 30 seconds, 1 minute, whatever it is. Think about something that day that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for you. Whatever it is. One thing, one, that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for you. It could be something very global that you woke up this morning with your ability to see. It could be something beprat, more detailed in that specific way. Something that you're thankful for, something the Ribbono Shel Olam did for you that day. But write it down, one a day, write it down. And at the end of every week, read your list back to yourself. And continue this for a few weeks. Start to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam back into your life emotionally and recognize all that He does and how much He's in your life. You'll start to feel Him more in your life. And we have to think about this. And it's true in our mitzvahs as well, which start to feel mechanical and rote. We're davening our Shemoneh Esrei. We're davening. Maybe it's only one a day. That's all I have time for with all the responsibilities of my life. But we're davening. But it feels more like Chayes Nish. I say it all the time. Hebrew reading exercises than davening. I'm reading through the words, but am I really davening? Is it with kavana? Is it, I feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in that tefillah? My Rebbe of Nosson Tzvi, in a conversation I had with him personally once, when I went to talk to him to ask for eitzah and tefillah, he gave me a few eitzahs. One of them was every time before I daven Shemoneh Esrei, before you start, when you say Hashem says I tiftach fi yagid yisecha, take 10-15 seconds and think, I'm about to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm about to talk to the Master of the Universe. Just think that. Not just going straight into our Shemoneh Esrei. Just remind yourself what you're about to do. You're about to have a relationship with Hashem. You're about to talk to Hashem. It could change the whole tefillah. Think about Hashem more and what we're doing. When you're cooking for Shabbos Kodesh, we cook for Shabbos. What a beautiful mitzvah. What an incredible mitzvah. Think to yourself throughout time, I'm cooking for Shabbos. This is a schus. There's stories, and Rav Shlomo Karbach used to always say it all the time, that mamish to say the words when you're cooking, L'kavod Shabbos. You have to sing it, right? L'kavod Shabbos. If you want to sing it, you can sing it. If you want to just say it, you can say it. To implement the heart back into the avodah. What is L'kavod Shabbos? It's really L'kavod Hashem. To think about this. In our brachos, we're making the brachos, but let's think about what we're saying every time we make a bracha. Bring a little more machshava, we'll bring Hashem back and we'll start to feel Hashem. You have a cup of water and you're going to make a bracha. So a lot of, we don't like brachas. We make a bracha to Hashem, Kalim, Achal, Shekol, Nibro. I said every word. That was even slow. But instead say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. And as you say each word, just think about what it means. Not deep, I don't mean mamish deep kavanas for a 10-minute bracha. Just understand what every word, what does it mean? Just the words Baruch Atah Hashem. People wrongly think it means, blessed are you, God. You think God needs our blessing? You think the Eibishter needs our blessing? He's perfect in every way. He's more perfect than perfect. He doesn't need our blessing. The Avud Raham explains, as I'm sure you all know, Baruch Atah Hashem doesn't mean, blessed are you, God. It means you are the source of all blessing, Hashem. As you manifestate yourself in this cup of water. So what you're doing every time you have water, you're saying, this water is not from the Poland Spring bottle that Alexa bought in Seasons, but this water, which okay, fine, and she had to do that, but ultimately this water came from the Eibishter. And yes, I have to thank Alexa for putting the water out, but I also have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I have to recognize this is from him, and he's in my life, he just gave me water. I have more of a real relationship with him. It's not just saying a bracha because it's a mitzvah to say a bracha, and of course I'm going to do whatever Hashem does. I understand that, mate, you know what, if we had kavanah our brachas, we'd have this kesher we're talking about, this feeling close to Hashem. If we really had it in 100 brachas, they vada, I'd be close to Hashem. Start with that. My brachos. Basically, just start thinking of Hashem a little bit more in all that we do. When I'm taking care of my bias, in whatever capacity that is, realize that's what the Eibishter wants me to be doing. That's my avodah. The Eibishter wants me to have a beautiful bias so that I can have a beautiful family in that bias. And someone has to take care of that. And that's avodah of ruchnius. That's avodah HaKodesh. And think about that. And think about the Ribbono Shel Olam, how much Nachas Ruach I'm bringing the Eibishter right now. It's beautiful. Chanukah brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into our lives. That's the light of Chanukah. And then we can take that spark and run with it in all that we do, as we're explaining. To no longer be paralyzed. No longer have that paralysis. The Semech Tzadik was one of the visions of Rebbe. He has an incredible gematria. He says Chanukah, you know, really is really we could split it up to Chanukah, right? Chanu, they rested, Ka on the 25th day. So if you split it up to two separate words, you could have a kolal for each, right? You could always add one to the word for each. So if you take the gematria of Chanukah plus the two kolals, it's a gematria 91. Chanukah is 89 plus the two kolals is 91. Chanukah, 91. What's 91? 91 is the gematria of Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is 26, plus Adnas, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, how we pronounce it, right? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65, Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, 65 plus 25 is 91. Meaning in Chanukah, we connect to Hashem of Havaya, who Havaya means He was, He is, and He will always be. And Adnas, He's my master on a personal level. We connect to Hashem. We rebuild the relationship with Hashem. Happens to be, by the same gematria as Sukkah. In a deeper realm, not for now, Sukkah and Chanukah are very interconnected. They're both 8 days long. There's a lot. They're both about Mahadran. They're both very, very interconnected. When you're in the Sukkah, we're supposed to feel like we're surrounded by the Rabbonus. We're with Havaya and Adnas. Chanukah, the light of the Chanukah menorah, does the same for us. It reminds us and brings us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the light reminds us, but it's up to us to take the machshava of that and start to live like that and start to implement it into my avoda, into my life, as we said, into my davening, into my everyday life, just recognizing what Hashem does for me, into my brachos that I make, into my mundane activities. Hashem, I want to rebuild this relationship. I want to be with You. I want to be with You. I no longer want to feel paralyzed and numb, as that rapper seemingly does at times. We don't want that. We want to be alive. We want to have chiyas. We want to feel the relationship with Hashem. Maybe that's pshat as well. You know, there's a gemara in Shabbos, Chav Gimel Mebeis. And the gemara says, Amar Rav Huna says, Hergel Bener. Hergel means lashon, you do it over rugel. You're used to it. You do it often. If you do that with your candle, which many explain is Neres Chanukah, Haivan Le Banim Talmidei Chachamim. You'll have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. Problem with the lashon hergel, you do it often, doesn't make any sense, because Chanukah is only once a year. So Rashi already says it's talking about Neres Chanukah and Neres Shabbos. It's both. So Neres Shabbos is throughout the year. But even that is not hergel, it's one day a week. It's not daily. But maybe it's not like just lighting the candle of the menorah that you can be rugel in. That's only for once a year. But the message behind it, the rebuilding of that relationship with Hashem, as the Kedushas Levi, as the Heilige Baditshever said, the Asur L'shtamesh Bo, not using it, but using it just to enlighten your neshama, to be close to Hashem. To see not just the crown, and not just the Maisim, but see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel it in my life. That could be always. That could be Ruggle. That has to be in my life always. I have to live with Neres Chanukah always. Always be living with Neres Chanukah. I think maybe that's shot in the story. Some of you remember I spoke it over last year. It happened last year. Last year was an incredible chizuk to me. It's crazy. Last year, every year for the past many years, I've had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur. Amazing schus I have. Wouldn't give that up for anything in the world. To daven mamish steps from Kodesh Kedoshim, to sit all like Yom Kippur with a kaisel. So I started a minhag many years ago, matzah Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur ends. So I daven with Yeshiva and Tevariyeh, and they daven. Maybe some of you have been there ever, have davened there. They davened in Parat Yosef, which is, again, not exactly where Nativ is. It's right a little bit over, but also right under Yeshiva HaKotel, because it's a much bigger room. So after Ma'ariv, the minog is to say Kiddush Levana at that moment. So I always go, and after Ma'ariv's over, I'll go and say Kiddush Levana at the Kaisel. Say Kiddush Levana at the Kaisel, say a few words of Tefillah at the Kaisel, leaving Yom Kippur. That's why I started this minog a few years ago. Last year I went, and I'm davening, right after Yom Kippur, Mamish, could it be more of a Kaddish time, more of a Torah time, a very special time? We all feel close to Hashem that moment. You know, everything we're talking about tonight, we don't need it that moment. Let's be real. And I'm davening, and I look down, and I see Mamish at my feet right there, a dreidel. A dreidel. This green wooden dreidel. And I pick it up, and it was Mamish, not just a dreidel, it was a chutz. It was a... Can I say it right? Chutzlaritz, thank you. A chutzlaritz tikka dreidel. It was a chutzlaritz tikka dreidel, meaning it was nun gimel he shin. What did the Rabbonish tell me? It's the strangest thing in the world, right? Matzah Yom Kippur. You don't, let's be real, one of the things, you don't see dreidels during the year. Who sees a dreidel during the year? yesterday, today, you had to find deep in your drawers the dreidels to get out, you know? Dreidels during the year, just one of the things. We don't have dreidels during the year. Here, at the Kaisel Matzah Yom Kippur, like what? Some kid brought Yom Kippur to play with a dreidel? What are the chances? What's going on? And I cheshbon, there's no way anyone's... The Kaisel, they clean up like every night, and they throw... I said, the Rebbeinu Shem sending this, it must be a matana, and I took the dreidel. I have it on my desk. And the biggest chizik, maybe the Rebbeinu Shem was reminding me, Matzah Yom Kippur, you're flying high, but then I was going to leave on a flight back to Chutz Laaretz, and I have to leave the Kaisel, leave Eretz Yisrael, leave... And I was feeling like a very big... A little bit, as much as special as it was, a little bit down, that I'm going to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem was giving me a message, Chanukah. Don't forget Chanukah. Meaning when you live with Chanukah, which is the light in the darkest of hours, in the darkest of times, realize it doesn't have to be in these lightest of times, like a Matzah Yom Kippur. You have to be with the Rebbeinu Shem always. That's the message of Chanukah. You have to be with the Rebbeinu Shem always. And that's the message of Chanukah, which is incredible. Chanukah, we got back Beis HaMikdash. We got back, we fought for it. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Mishkan, then a first Beis HaMikdash, then a second Beis HaMikdash. On Chanukah, we had to fight for it, but we got it back. There are times in life when I feel distant from Hashem. I feel frozen, I feel paralyzed. But we have to fight to get it back. And if we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it back to us. He'll give back all the emotions and all the feelings and all the Beis HaMikdash in my life. It doesn't have to be a Mamish. Halavai will be an actual Beis HaMikdash. Bez Hashem is bar, Kar of Mamish. But until that time, the Beis HaMikdash in my life. That could be this Chanukah, and that should be the Chanukah for each and every one of us. Just to end with a story. There was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael years ago. And he was traveling to different countries to raise money. And he went to Italy, to Milan, Italy. He didn't know a person there. He gets there, it's Erev Shabbos, he has no clue. He figured he'll go to the from community, try to find somebody. He doesn't even know his way around, he doesn't know where he is, he's a little bit lost. Suddenly this beautiful carriage, gorgeous carriage with horses, pulls up and by him, and someone opens the door, and it's a Yid. Very prestigious looking Yid. And the Yid says to him, Rabbi Yid, what are you doing here? He says, I'm from Israel. Wow, what a schus, we don't usually have rabbis from Israel. You have somewhere to stay for Shabbos? I don't know where to stay. Come, please, be my guest. Stay with me for Shabbos. He takes him to his house. It's the most beautiful mansion you've ever seen. And this is his accommodation for Shabbos. Takes him to shul Friday night. He sits him right next to the rabbi, a rav from Eretz Yisrael in Italy. What chashivas years ago, this wasn't a pasha thing. Gets home that night, Friday night meal. Mamish, the most elaborate, delicious delicacies you've ever tasted. Beautiful ambiance. The Rav, he's sitting at the table, and then he looks in the break front, right? The beautiful, mamish, unbelievable pieces of silver and gold. But in the middle of the break front, there's like this broken flask. Mamish, a broken glass flask. It doesn't look like it should be there. It's very strange. So first he didn't say anything, then he asked. He got a little bit closer. We spent some time. He says to the Gvir, he says, you have such a beautiful place, a beautiful mansion, beautiful house, whatever, chesnish. And beautiful, everything here is mamish so elaborate, so beautiful. What's pshat in the flask? What do you have this broken flask in your break front? It's strange. He says, let me tell you the story. And you see his kids get all simcha happy, like they've heard the story many times, but they love when Tati says the story. So he says he lived in Amsterdam. And he grew up in Amsterdam. He was a frum yid, 18 years old. His grandfather had a business in Italy. And he needed some help, and his parents decided to send him to be with his grandfather. His grandfather was Ben Taira of Baal Yerushalayim, and he'd learned the business. And his grandfather, unfortunately, soon after he got there, he got very, very sick. And he wasn't able to go into business. And this kid, when he was a kid, he literally learned the whole business, was very successful. His grandfather ended up passing away. His parents, at that point, wanted him to come back to Amsterdam, but he was being very successful in the business. He said, I'm going to stay. He stayed. One day, he was in the middle of a big business deal and things were getting late in the day and it was winter months, Mashkiah is very early, sunset's very early. He mamish just forgot, he missed Mincha. Okay, he was very down himself, very upset, but never again. Then slowly one day he missed Shacharis and one day turned into a second day. And then suddenly it was a big deal and only if he'd meet with the guy on Shabbos and he said only one time. Before long he was completely fried, not keeping Torah mitzvahs at all. He got married a Jew, but they weren't from, they raised their kids, nothing, not traditional, nothing. No Pesach Seder, no Shabbos, no Yom Kippur, Nothing. One day he's walking home. And he's walking home and he sees a boy with a lot of other boys. This one boy is crying, tears streaming down his cheeks. He goes over, "What's wrong, my child? What's wrong?" He says, he couldn't even, words couldn't leave his mouth. His friend said, "This boy is unfortunately not so wealthy, and his father raised a lot of money, in their minds, a lot of money, meaning raised for a while money, so he could buy oil for Hanukkah tonight. And he sent his son to the store to buy oil for Hanukkah, and told him, go buy the oil and come straight home, because we need this oil." And the son went to the store and was holding the precious oil, protecting it, and he saw all his friends playing ball. How can you not stop to play ball? He put the oil down, he thought in the place it was safe, but of course someone kicked the ball, hit the oil, shattered into pieces. And he saw this broken flask with oil on the floor. And he hears this boy crying, and the boy's crying. He says, "What will I tell my father? What will I tell my father?" And he says, "Boy, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Come with me." And he took the boy, and he went to the store, and he bought him tons of oil and some other things. And he says, "Go home, take all this, you're fine." To make him feel good, to make him simcha. But the man starts walking, he says, "Wait a minute. What will I tell my father?" This boy was so afraid that he's going to see his father. What's he going to tell my father? What am I going to tell the Tata and Hamel? What am I going to tell my father about how I'm living my life? What's going on? And he decided that night, right as he's walking home, he turned around and he bought himself oil. And he bought himself some Chves de Shemenorah or whatever it was. And he got home that night and he told his wife and children, "We're going to light the Chanukah menorah." And he explained to them why and explained to them what he was doing. He remembered it all. And the next night, a second candle and a third candle. And then slowly it was a little davening, and then Shabbos, until the entire mishpach was shomer Torah mitzvos. And it was that flask of oil, that yontav of Chanukah, that he keeps in his break front, the most precious items of his life, that brought him back mamish to the relationship with his tata, with his father in Hamel. We're about to enter into Chanukah Bez Hashem Yisborach, and if Chanukah could be for him such a yontav, then what could be for us who Baruch Hashem we're holding at places where we are shomer Torah mitzvos. But it'd be for us a time to remind us of the relationship we need to have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can have the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we want to have the Ribbono Shel Olam, to break through the paralysis, to feel close to Hashem, to rebuild that relationship in all that we do in the ways that we've discussed. And Meir Hashem will be a lichtige Chanukah, a lichtige yantav, a freilich Chanukah. And Meir Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that we're rebuilding that relationship. And MS is, once we rebuild that relationship, of course, we want to do it for the Ribbono Shel Olam and do it for ourselves, but ultimately, the Simcha Zechayim we'll have in our lives. When we have that relationship with Hashem, Kol Ma'adav Rechman Otav of it. When I have that relationship with Hashem, all is good, everything's amazing, everything's beautiful, because I see the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life every single moment. And we have the Simcha of Chanukah, not just for Chanukah, but the Simcha of Chanukah always. And Hashem, each and every one of you should have that always, and have that in your families always, and give that over to your children always. That's the Iker Chinuch to your children, to love Hashem, to feel close to Hashem. The details are details. To feel a deep relationship with Hashem. And Amir Hashem, that Tzchus, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, and sees the relationship we're rebuilding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how could I not allow my Shechina to come back? It's like Chanukah, we revitalized, and we were back to a beautiful Beis HaMikdash. We'll be Zoyecha also to revitalize that relationship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina come down with Binyan by Shlishi, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehera B'yameinu. Hail Gevuchta and Chanukah, everyone.